In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott discussing today the trials of singleness. The trials of singleness. What is a trial? It's the subjection of a person or thing to a test or examination. The state or fact of being tried by suffering, especially a test of one's virtue, faith, or patience, by being subjected to affliction or temptation. I want to read that part of the definition again. A trial is especially a test of one's virtue, faith, or patience by being subjected to affliction or temptation. And for many of my listeners, singleness is regarded as an affliction. You feel as though you have been dealt a poor hand of cards. You know, I get many, many letters from single people telling me their sorrows, asking me to assure them that God is going to give them a wife or a husband. And of course, Elizabeth Elliott doesn't have any peculiar intimate knowledge of what God is going to do, even for herself, let alone for anybody else. So I have no authority whatsoever to tell you, yes, God does have a mate for you. But what I do know for sure is that if you do not have a mate today, it's God's will that you be single today, and that could change next week. Another definition of a trial is a cross. That which cuts across our desires, our human nature. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must give up your right to yourself and take up the cross and follow me. Have you singles taken up gladly and willingly the cross of singleness? I know some of you have. I have some wonderful letters from those who have. In James 1:12, we read, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And of course, the word man there is generic. Blessed is the woman who perseveres under trial, because when she has stood the test, she will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Singleness. Ladies and gentlemen, I do know what it's like. I hear about it almost daily in the letters that come from Gateway to Joy. I've written about it in books. Many of you know my story of my own longings to get married before I was ever married the first time. The book is called Passion and Purity, and it tells a story of how I met Jim Elliott in college. We fell in love just before I graduated, and it was 5.5 years before God brought us together. It was not 5.5 years of engagement. It was 5 years of waiting on God, not on each other. I get so many letters from women who seem to have put their lives on hold because they are waiting for a man. Don't wait for a man. Wait for God. Wait on God. I get very many letters from men and women who are single who wish they were married. And you know what? I get an awful lot of letters from women who wish they were not married. Only God knows what is best for you, which trials are required, which tests and examinations will best test your virtue, your faith, or your patience. And you will have to be subjected to affliction or temptation not once and again, but again and again. Good news, isn't it? Wonderful news. Oh, Elizabeth Elliot, she is tough. I mean, it's just tough to listen to some of the stuff she says. And somebody wrote to me recently and said, I'm much too serious. Well, there we are. That's the way it is, isn't it? Let me begin this week's series by reading a letter from a young man who has his own tough tests as a single. He's 27 years old. He's a missionary. And he said, it's been 15 years since I kissed a girl, and 10 since I held one's hand. I dated one girl for 5 years. Well, this is what he says. However, I constantly find myself digging for cover from some girl who is convinced of God's will in my life. One 29-year-old missionary quit her job and moved home after she declared her love for me and would wait for God to do the same in my life. I only knew her 3 weeks at a missions conference. I went to the conference to escape a girl who interpreted my no as a symbol of her flaws in character. These and others always talk of their love for me in spiritual terms. Quote, your love and relationship for God is what I desire first in a husband, unquote. They never fall in love with me, only who they perceive me to be, especially spiritually. Help! Now it's happening here, and he names the country where he is. In my college days at, and he names a Christian institution, one of my professors told us that God has a time of singleness for everyone. Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Because we're not married until we've been single quite a while. For some people, it's a lifetime. For others, it's until the age of 18. My task is to find out what he wants me to accomplish as a single man and not seek to change my status. That was very freeing to me and has been true in my life. But the pressures of parents and society. 27 and still a virgin? Are you gay? I search for a biblical definition of manhood, he says. I know of no one in my childhood I would call a man. What if, in being single, my time is constantly fighting off others' attempts to change my status or my own desires? It seems impossible to remain single-minded. Should I then seek to be married? My freedom to spend so much time in discipleship and evangelistic pursuits would be lessened. I would need to raise more support. How can I ask a woman to become part of a third world village culture? Most American women don't even know how to kill a chicken. Well, this was my reply. My heart goes out to you, and you have given me lots of grist for my mill. I hear this story too dismally often, women being convinced that God has called them to marry a certain man who has not in the least made any advances toward them. The whole, quote, spirituality, unquote, thing has led to a great deal of confusion and broken hearts. I've been telling young people not to read the Bible and not to pray together until they are engaged. I've seen too many cases where they are lying to themselves about their true motives. If they need a Bible reading or prayer partner, they can find one of their own sex. I want to encourage you, dear so-and-so, and I put his name, of course, in the letter, that these years in blank are not, quote, taking away years from your dating life, unquote. Or, on second thought, be thankful that they are, in a sense. Let me tell you the story of Charles Alexander, famous song leader in the early part of this century. He was traveling, I think, with R.A. Torrey from age 22 to 27, all over the world. He had no chance to be in one place long enough to get to know any women. He had made up his list of qualifications he was looking for in a wife, but never found her. When he was 27, he surrendered his list to the Lord and said, Lord, you know where the right woman is for me at the right time. You know her qualifications. Forget my list. Within a very short time, he met the young lady whom God had chosen. On his very first, quote, date, unquote, arranged by her aunt, a dinner out with the girl, I think it was her mother, not her aunt, he proposed to her. It was all settled on our knees in 5 minutes, he said. So God knows how to bring the right woman along in a way that you can't possibly imagine. God has given me 3 husbands, none of whom I ever went after. And the second 2, God brought around in a most astonishing way. I would never have imagined being married a second and third time. I thought it was a miracle. I got married the first time. Well, the trials of singleness. Let me read to you from 2 Peter 2, 4 to 9. If God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and 7 others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. God knows how to rescue godly men from trials. So keep your hands off, your clothes on, and stay out of bed.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.